And breathe.
Get in the zone for recording the podcast, Anna Mangan and Claire Freeman.
I'm totally in the zone.
Anna has some more rock and roll injuries to update us on this podcast. They're always quite rock and roll. Yeah. So here we are with what we said last week. We finished in the sunshine, sat outside, you know, with the sun beating down on our face. And now we look outside, it's grey and it's rainy. But we're here with another podcast to brighten your autumnal mood. Okay.
That was very professional.
Well, let me get into the professional introduction, because occasionally we write these things down. Here's okay. What I wrote, right? Snack attack, honeymoons, new yogis, bereavement. We've got more of your winning stories and light bulb moments. There are so many things to talk about on Listeners Questions October 2020. If there was a word of the month, what word would you choose, Anna, as we begin this episode right now?
Oh God, I don't think I can say it. Bowl of renewed hope. That's not a word. Hope.
Hope. She can't count. She can't talk. She can't walk. But we're here doing a podcast. Play those blooming ukuleles. Yeah, so Anna is not rock climbing this week. Last week we were moaning about our aches from the gym, and now Anna pulls a very important, is it a muscle, a tendon, whilst in the dishwasher?
Tendon. Yeah, I did some crazy move while I was loading the dishwasher. There was a plate that was too far away, stood on my tiptoes, angled the back of my foot while wearing a pair of sliders, and I heard this like rustling, crunching noise. Anybody who's ever done anything to their Achilles tendon will know there's a noise. And the next thing I know, I'm in A&E.
Wow.
Yeah. Only I could do it. Starting a personal trainer and now I can't train for 6 weeks.
Wow. And my latest ache is that my back is starting to get there a little bit. I've still been out walking. This is the thing, like when you have an injury and you're chasing your gold body magic award, you've got to adapt. So I've been doing a bit of yoga, a bit of walking, and that's as much as I can do, but I'm still getting that blooming body magic. I will be a platinum body magicker, you see. Don't laugh at me. This is a goal that I'm trying to work towards. No,
I am not laughing at the goal, Claire. I'm laughing at the body magicker. It sounds like something you'd get in Spain, a body magicker.
Well, anyway, welcome to Slimming World Podcast. She's Anna, who's an intelligent, experienced consultant. I am Claire, a member. I don't even know how to introduce myself. And we have a lot of fun on this. We are Bite Size Mojo. We are sponsored by Slimming World. And this is the episode where we do it once a month. We open the doors to see what your comments have been about recent episodes, what questions are on your mind at this time of year, what do you need help with, and also a place to share some good news stories, because it's just been such weird times in recent weeks, you know, with lockdown, local lockdowns. Is there a lockdown? Won't there be a lockdown? If there is a lockdown, how long would it last? There's just so much uncertainty. And like the last few weeks, I've been back to real group, and it's really helped me step out my own bubble. I don't know if the same's for you, Anna, but often when we are weighing at home and doing a plan at home or online ourselves, we can get quite insular and think just about our story, and you focus on every stubborn half pound and pound. But when you go to group and image therapy, I think it's really given me a bigger perspective that there are some people who are mega struggling right now and are facing huge hurdles. But the fact that they still can make it to group and stay, I think is just admirable. And it's really opened my eyes to really understand what more people are facing in these weird, strange months that we're having right now?
I think it's that experience of the collective group being such a support to people as well, and that actually it's a safe place where people can talk. And it always puts for me my worries, my woes, my weight loss troubles into context, because I think, you know, in group you always see someone who's maybe been through something similar or come out the other side, or you can help someone. It's so important, isn't it? And I think pre-lockdown I always knew the importance of group, but I didn't realize the socialization aspect more than anything, interacting with other human beings, like how much we miss that. That's been the key kind of realization for me. And yeah. I'm loving just seeing people, even though I can only see their eyes. It is lovely.
What I am particularly liking is I got a new book because I signed up for a countdown, the Take 5 Second Helpings.
Oh, brilliant.
And actually, I think we'll get to their name a little bit later, but someone said one of the recipes, it's only got blooming okra.
Only got okra in it. I know. Like they knew we were coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've still been, you know, for those of you who are back in group, or, you know, maybe this is coming your way, the back together, this is your time. I've still been doing my book. I have been geeking out on that stuff. I have written how much I'm sleeping, what activity I've done. I've really just gone for the plan as if I am a new member and this is the first certificate I'm ever going to get that I'm working towards. Do you know what I mean? Like with that same excitement. Yeah, it has. It definitely has.
Good. I think your level of detail is exemplary.
Yeah, I mean, I can't sustain that. Don't worry. I don't think we're expected to kind of keep doing this even when we get to target. But just to kind of get you back in the zone, this is the stuff that kind of, it helps you really spot the little tiny things that could be sabotaging you, I think.
Yeah, and it was the kind of transition book from lockdown to slim down, wasn't it?
See, the questions that I quite like, week by week, and this is relevant if you've got the book or you haven't, right? So it talks about, number one, what are your trigger foods? Like I put here, for me, an example, coffee, syrup and milk. That sounds a bit ridiculous. Where are my danger areas? My danger areas are coffee shops and service stations. And what are my sabotage traps with the trigger foods and danger areas? Well, my sabotage traps are, I'm often in denial of actually how many sins the coffee, the syrup, the milk actually is. So I kind of went through just those three little questions and did some bullet points with that, and they're so simple, aren't they? Because we all know the things that are tripping us up, but how often do we put a bit of pause and stop and think, hang on a sec, I'm about to walk blindly into this situation again, how can I walk differently? Like, have you heard that analogy where there's somebody walking along the road? I think it's maybe a Headspace or an old Buddhist saying. Someone walks down the road and there's a hole in the middle of the road and they keep walking straight down the hole. And until they learn, like, you know, to do something differently, they tiptoe around the hole and they don't fall down it. Otherwise, you just keep walking down the road and falling in the hole. And until you actually say, whoa, let's not do this, I don't want to go down that hole, you're going to keep doing it without you even realising.
You hope it's just going to be different, that you're going to get to that hole and it's going to have been filled in. You don't, you? And it's not been filled in. You've got to learn to walk around it.
Although I do have to say that there are times in my life recently where I wish I could fall down a hole and just get away from everything. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure you'll feel like that too. You're like, just give me the hole now.
Yeah, like right now.
Exactly. Right.
But anyway, I think it's that eagerness to change is what will get you to where you want to be. Mm. And I think we almost have to go into a rebellious state to fight against it, to realise that we want to come and make some changes. Like the fact that you've spent that amount of time and put that level of detail into that book tells you that you've still got the fight and the strength left to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. The quotes that I thought that we received in the last like few weeks, I thought were really good, because I've been writing some of these quotes that like listeners have sent to us on this little journal, right? So I was telling someone as I was queuing up for Way this week about what Jo had sent to us. She said her consultant has a saying, if you kind of do it, it kind of works. If you really do it, it really works. And I wrote that down on my journal. What and I saying? Said that to a lady as we were queuing this morning. She was like, my God, there's so much truth in that.
I think that comes from one of our gorgeous trainers at head office who said it. And it's something that really resonates in my head, because it's that kind of doing it is hard, isn't it? And you expect the outcome to be what you want from kind of doing it. But if you just made that shift to really doing it, you'd put in kind of as much work but get the better result. I love that saying.
So Bex also said that she was heading back to group, and she put some little kind of funny lines in here saying that she was hoping her group would throw me the rope of hope and save her from the sea of snackery. That was pleasure to read aloud.
That is beautiful.
Amy says, scribble while you nibble, write as you bite, ink while you drink.
I've never heard ink what you drink, but that's brilliant. I'm stealing that, Amy.
What was also quite interesting. So let me just jump ahead in our little order to the drinks quiz. So we did the episode Cheers, Salut, Prost the other week, and we're talking about Cares and the quiz. So many people had said that they had gone immediately to go and check the sin values of their juice, which I thought was brilliant.
And I had some shocking people notify me about things that I was like, oh my God, I didn't know that. And I didn't know that. Some shocks about shop-owned squashes and stuff, little quite crazy things that have been added and taken away. And yeah.
Like,
mad, isn't it?
Cindy here said she spotted her no added sugar juice actually had a sin value. Jo checked her regular flavoured sparkling water. She is safe. It is free. Karen said her problem is her home measures to pub measures. You'd think I have learnt by now. I think many people could understand that. And Claire says, why is lemon juice free but apple isn't? Have you tried drinking a glass of neat lemon juice? Actually,
not going to happen, is it?
With hot water, I have done it a few times. When I used to work shift work and you'd start like at 4 a.m, you couldn't go straight for a coffee at 4 a.m. having just woke up. It was just too much. But lemon juice kind of slowly woke up your digestive system.
Oh, there you go.
It wasn't pleasurable.
Yeah, but I think that's the whole difference. Apple juice is so palatable, isn't it? You could just neck it.
Can I just say, I have just realised, so I've got these old trousers on right now. And, you know, now we're going back to whey, and we've got whey with shoes on. I've got these old trousers because I thought they're probably really light. I've just realised they've got a hole in the crotch. I think it's time to let them go. So the trainers were super light, but I've got a hole in my crotch. Do you think that means they weigh less?
Well, yeah, is the fabric missing? No, it's just moved. I had a very amazing lady who had bought a fold-up pair of shoes into group that weighed like literally nothing. The skills I have seen of members and their footwear changes are insane.
Oh, really? Super proud. Really?
Yeah, like literally had a lady come in and change into slippers. And someone found out that a pair of well-known boots weighed 2 pounds. Yeah?
I mean, I just put my trainers on the scales and it didn't even register as anything. So I just thought,
yeah, because
once you start going down the route of, you know, seeing which shoes weigh less, then you've got to be honest with yourself. The damage is already done, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you're clinging at straws when you've got to take your bra, your knickers and your shoes off, aren't you?
Yes.
Clutching at straws, not clinging.
Yes, but we know what you meant. It's okay. Should we just whiz through some winning stories? Because I think people need to hear that, you know, there are some good stuff going on. Yeah. So Trish in Coventry, my homelands, big up the Coventry, sent us an email and it was titled, Get on a Real Bike. I don't know whether me and Anna are able to face this. Having seen Anna get her leg over a push bike, I'm not sure this is safe.
I can't even load the dishwasher without an injury. How am I going to get on a motorbike?
Well, Trish said, she sent us a picture of her in her new leathers and her bike. It was this big, sexy, black, red thing. I think it looks fast. I don't really know much about bikes. Anyway, Trish said she joined Summerwood just before lockdown and was super worried about how she was going to cope. She's previously struggled with depression. She was in hospital last year. And basically, because she really went for it with Slimming World, she relied on the support of the group throughout lockdown. She stuck to plan. She managed to hit target within lockdown. And she didn't need to have a meltdown. She didn't need to rely on any of her medication. She did it. And she's feeling super proud. And not only that, she lost 1 stone, 12 pounds. She got back into her biking gear, but then she actually had to get new, smaller biking gear. And now she's back enjoying life on the road. She also says, please don't eat all the sunflowers. I think she was referring to Donna's comment about sunflowers being speed food.
One's just flowered in my garden and I'm tempted to go and cut it off and cook it for you next time I see you in real life.
No, just enjoy that beautiful sunflower, as Trish said. Great advice and great story, Trish. Kate has listened to our episode day one and said it gave her the courage to go back to group. I imagine, like many members, probably say to you privately, Anna, that this is how they feel. You know, the anxiety that they have, the tummy is churning, you know, they wind themselves up like it's going to be awful. Oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to cope. Just looking at a number on a digital scale. That's what we do, isn't it? All it is just a number.
So hard.
But she says here she didn't. She the relief was immense. She listened to the episode on one of her many dog walks and wanted to say thank you for the giggles. And that's great because we want people to feel like if this is important to them, that our positivity and our openness about the reality of the ups and the downs and the sideways and the diagonal losses of weight loss. You know what I mean, though, don't you? That, like, it's all right.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, it's part of the journey, isn't it? And I think sometimes what we see so much in the media is the easy perfectionist side of how it just comes together. And I think you and I are the voice of utter reality, aren't we? And I think sometimes as a slimmer, it's really lovely to hear that you can still get there, even with all the lumps and bumps in the road. So you just have to keep going, don't you?
See, Harps sent... I think that she put it as a comment on Insta or maybe tagged us. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, put a comment, which basically was like a bullet point list of a reality check of all the things that she's done over lockdown, like small victories is what she called us. She said, these are the small victories she's had whilst trying not to be overwhelmed and anxious about returning to the office. Lost 3 pounds in a month. Continued exercise, noticed body shape changing over a month, walking 30 minutes, 3 or 4 days a week. Slipped into a pair of jeans where at the start of August she struggled to zip it up. Usually suffers from IBS, however this month, not a problem. Recently did a blood test to find out if she was close to being diabetic and so on. Results showed that she's still healthy, which is a relief. And then also like just the reality of, I know I'm not going to lose 3 stone in 5 weeks for my pandemic style wedding, but I'll continue doing what I will do. And I know I won't be as heavy on my wedding day as I was when I started this journey back in August. And that's so sensible, isn't it?
I just love that when you write it down and you go, this is what I've achieved, because you can think in your head, I've not achieved anything. And look what she has actually achieved. Brilliant. Well done.
It's a good day. On the days where you feel low or you don't get the result on the scales, sometimes it is good to say, okay, well, what have I done?
Yeah. And I always, you know, I was saying to my members, I think it was the second week we were back, like so many of us are driven by that number, but actually we need to concentrate on the habit change and the habit build than the numbers, because otherwise you're going to forget the things that you have done that are positive and also kind of eradicate the ones that may be getting in your way. So non-scale victories.
See, I was actually disappointed that I really went for it this weekend. I only lost a pound, right? I was a bit, is that it? But then I look at my physical evidence of the week that I've had and I'm like, yeah, but I did this, and I did this. So it's all right. I'll take it.
Yeah. It's that, though, wanting our heads for it to be over. That's the hard thing, isn't it? That goes, it's only a pound. That means that I'm not where I want to be near finishing this journey. So it's telling that little voice to be quiet. Look what I did do. And look at the commitment I made to myself. Like, you have written such an incredible journal. Like, how incredible is that? That is a habit that if you keep doing that for the next few weeks, you're going to lose more weight. But if you just go with caution to the wind, you won't.
Yeah, yeah. Or you do the up and the down. You lose a bit, then you don't lose a bit. And you do the whole, yeah, the sine curve or whatever it is that you end up doing. That,
playing tennis with the same 2 pounds. Backwards and forwards. Backwards and forwards. Two off, two on, three on, four off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So strain.
Oh, God. So been there. Let's
so been there.
Plow through a couple here. Cassie was listening about the episode about trying new foods and actually found some kiwi berries. They're not a speed food, but oh my God, they are so nice. It's got some banana blossom and okra, but not a clue what to do with it. Stop the press, Cassie. It's okay, because Joe, the man Joe, he's not called Joe Man Joe. He's just Joe, but Joe with an E because he's a man. I don't know, like, it's audio. I'm not writing it down. Bear with me. Joe was the one that pointed out that he tried okra, and he said it's in the Take 5 Second Helpings book. Although, annoyingly, yes. My book's downstairs in my kitchen. It's a salmon curry type one, I think.
Okra's amazing in curries, though, isn't it? Because it really takes on the flavour.
I have just been smashing okra in all kinds of things, like a risotto, a bit of a lentil dal, a stir fry, because I've just bought the frozen stuff. And then whenever I've needed to add some greens, just like I'll add some frozen peas or frozen sweet corn, I'll just add a bit of okra. And I'm like,
love it.
Boom, squeezing it in places that I
you made
never
me
knew.
You gave me some risotto that had edamame beans and okra in it. You made me, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Who knew?
Who knew? Okay, Potter Pickle sends us a message here, and Potter lives in Australia. I know this, and actually, as a result of listening to the podcast for a few months, has joined Slimming World online, which is really nice to know. You know, that's,
yeah, well done.
We're not kind of like forcing it down anyone's throat, but we're just saying this works for us. If it works for you, great. Otherwise, if you're using a competitor's plan, so be it. You might get other knowledge from us about, like, how to, you know, think about the habits, the behaviours, the exercise. But it's just really nice. So that was really nice for Potter Pickle. It's great
I
to say that.
That,
isn't it?
Potter great name.
Yeah. How fast can you say it?
Potter Pickle, Pickle, Pickle.
Not very fast then, basically. That is what we just concluded. Right, Kate. Now, I know this message is near... Kate slipped into the net quite late on. She sent us an email with a picture of her, and I just need to move your little face out of the way so I can read this. We're doing this on Zoom, obviously. Right, move your little face, Anna.
I'm lay up in bed.
Okay, Anna.
You moved my face. I moved your face already.
Thanks. What do I do when I'm bringing on Anna and Claire's podcasts or listening to Anna and Claire's podcasts? I sit at my sewing machine with my cocker spaniel, aka Mutter Nutter, at my feet sewing. What a name. Currently making masks and necklaces, but about to start making Christmas presents. When I'm not sewing, I'm crocheting like every blue-haired, nose-pierced, tattooed, rock-loving granny should. Crocheting, knitting, sewing and crafting keeps my hands busy, my brain occupied, and helps keep my mental health help my mental health and stop me thinking about or eating food constantly. I have beeped about Slimming World for 9 years, trying to cheat the diet, praying each week that I might have lost half a pound and vowing every single week to stick to plan. I'm not sure if binge listening has brainwashed me or finally kicked the message home, but over the last 4 weeks, I have lost 14... That's 1.5 pounds. That's a stone and a half. Sorry, a stone and half a pound. My mindset has completely changed. You're not saying anything that my amazing consultant, Kathy, hasn't told me, but something has shifted in my brain. The mantras of free food is my friend, and it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle plan ringing in my head constantly. I no longer wake up thinking, how many sins can I get away with today? But actually excited about how much free speed food can I eat today? I've also found my whys, which help motivate me. Thank you, Claire and Anna. You may have actually saved my life, as I'm at high risk of having heart attack or stroke. I have pre-diabetes, a severe bowel condition, and complicated mental health diagnosis, all of which I can only improve with weight loss. And she said she was inspired to give up sugar as well. So that is Kate. And sent us a picture of her, where's that description again? Blue-haired, nose-pierced, tattooed, rock-loving granny. We know what Kate looks like.
Wow, mind-blowing. And I love that you're like such a cool granny.
Yeah, and what a difference that you've made, because I hear what she's saying so much in where I come from too, and even hearing people in the group, like today, again, everyone was like chatting, like, oh, you know, queuing up for whey, step on the scales, it never gets easier, does it? I still feel just as nervous as the first day. But we keep turning up, we keep going. Oh God, I've been doing this for years and I just, you know, I'll get there eventually. There's so many of us that have that kind of mindset. But once you start to kind of things click into place, it's just so lighter and easier.
Yeah. Mentally as well as physically, it's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. So Kay sent us a message. And Kay said that she realised that she had been lying to herself over lockdown. It was a really, really honest message. And ironically, she was listening to one of our earlier podcasts where we were sat in a busy coffee shop and she said how different the world is now.
Yes.
So she said she did Slimming World Group online and she thinks, reckon for at least 8 weeks she was winging it. It was very easy because you could lie about how much weight that she'd lost, or in her case, worse, gained. But then when she found the dates came back for real groups opening, that was when she was happy to see everyone, but she also knew she had to admit that she'd cheated herself. And so she turned to our podcast, something that she hadn't really ever really enjoyed. She'd heard a consultant talk about it, but was a bit like, it's not for me, it's not for me. And then suddenly, as she was getting back on it, she started listening to the podcast and she really just started to find a new perspective and just said she doesn't feel so, you know, unheard and alone. She's talking about the good choices, the bad choices, and just, you know, the way that we share the reality of our lives and the fact that that's how life is. It goes up, it goes down, and it's, you know, take control.
Oh, well done for admitting that to yourself, though. That's really hard, Kay. Well done.
So,
and you're not alone in that Zoom thing either.
Well, she's not actually, because Liz also sent us a message saying she had lost 3 stone on Slimming World, but now it's only 1.5 stones. And she was very, very honest in realising that while she was blaming COVID, she actually realised, to be honest, that the rot had set in a long time before. And then listening to the podcast has helped her think about it in a different way. She started to kind of realise that sometimes it's okay to not be okay, and that somewhere along the way she forgot about her own needs. And it was the day one podcast, the new beginnings, that really kind of helped her feel like, now I'm ready to face the situation and get back on it.
Oh, well done.
So some amazing little comments there. Let's jump on to some of the questions. So Laura sent us a message, which the crux of it was about this idea of finishing everything on our plate. You know, that it kind of makes you think back to your childhood, doesn't it? No, you can't have your dessert until you've eaten all your greens. You know,
crazy, isn't it?
She finishes it on the plate, even if she doesn't like it. What advice do we have? She also says she's sure that she's our number one fan. I think we have a lot of joint number one fans. You can all share.
I think we do.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So my instant advice would be, don't worry if it's free food. So free food is unlimited, because what free food has is the ability to satisfy your appetite for very little energy, calories, basically. So your free food in that way, like I always say, is your friend. However, what we've got to bear in mind, and what this lady I feel is saying, is that you're eating for the sake of it. And that's telling you a different story, that you're not eating out of hunger, you're perhaps eating out of emotion. And that's when I always try and sit back and go, hold on, this isn't working, is it? Because what I'm doing here is just eating with a want and a need for some sort of fulfillment that I just can't get. So what I try to do for me when I get in this place with free food is, it's because I know it's unlimited, I could go and have 14 jacket potatoes if I wanted to. I dish myself up my dinner. A nice, beautiful portion with my 1/3 speed, but I don't do what I used to do, which was mounting it. I say to myself, go back for a second portion if you want it and you need it. If you're full by the end of it and you don't need it, then you don't need to finish the plate. Because for me, what I would do is, the food is on my plate, therefore I've got to eat it. Like, I'd never, even if I was rammed to the top of my throat in a restaurant, I've got to clean the plate. Like, what do that? Even if it's salad.
I would. I'd be like, I'm paying for this. I'm going to eat every mouthful.
Yeah, I'm going to lick the fork and everything. So what the dishing myself up more than one portion did for me is showed that actually what I was looking for from my food, I was never going to get. You know, haven't you had it? Like, I have it a lot with sugar. Like, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling stressed, I'm looking for something to give me comfort, I'm looking for something to give me release, and I just don't ever get it. And I suspect what this lady's doing by saying, actually, I'm eating things I don't even like, it's emotional eating. So maybe going back and really looking, other meals you're eating, are they ones that are really exciting you? Are they ones that are really fulfilling you in terms of satisfaction in what you're eating? Or are you kind of doing a restrictive diet eating mentality? And also looking at what you're doing when you're eating. I don't know if you've spotted this, Claire. This has been a really big thing for me. I normally eat in front of the TV, and I've decided to stop eating in front of the TV. I try and eat my dinner at my beautiful dining table, which has become the place that holds the washing, you know, things that need to go upstairs that you haven't taken. And actually eating my meal at the table has made me eat a lot slower and be far fuller. Whereas eating in front of the TV, it's gone, and I haven't even noticed what I'm eating because I'm concentrating on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's actually going to be the subject of next week's podcast, isn't it? You know, we're going to explore this Buddhist concept known as mindful eating. And we're going to do that, you know, using a piece of free food or speed free food, fruit or vegetables, to kind of have a go at this conscious eating practice. And it's about putting the pause, isn't it? So that more of us surf the urge in managing sugar cravings, and also just recognize, I'm full. I don't need to. Like, I'm sure that I read somewhere that often your body tells you you're full, like, but you could still go on eating for another 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, doesn't the brain take something like 15 to 20 minutes to engage that you are totally full? So another method that I found, and we'll explore this more, is putting my knife and fork down in between the mouthful. Because how many of us, like, have the next forkful ready when you're still chewing the one before?
Yeah.
Like, I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. Like, if I eat a packet of crisps, I've got the handful of crisps ready for when I've swallowed.
Oh, 100%. You know? 100%. Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of free food, you're good. But I'm just talking about mindfulness and that, am I hungry or am I emotionally dissatisfied?
So let's just kind of talk about, like, too much. This is the words that Martine says. Can you ever eat too much fruit? Like, because I often wonder, like, for me, sometimes the portions, I do still sometimes get that fear of, what, I can eat all of this? And Matt is like a foot bigger than me. His portions are way bigger than me. Like, for me, that's like two portions. Spread that out.
Yeah.
So can you ever eat too much fruit, or let's say free food or speed food? Like, for me, the word portions worries me.
No, it's free food. It's unlimited, because we know what free food has, because of its kind of energy density, because it's so dense for so little energy, that there's only so much you will be able to eat. Okay, it's almost got a, like a, you know, you're going to be satisfied, you're going to be full from it. So we know that we're going to protect your weight loss in that way. So just remember, free food is safe. It's your friend. It is always going to be better to eat that free food, use it for your snacks, because it doesn't have the trigger ability. I've never met anyone that's gone, oh, I've just eaten a whole melon, I'm craving another one. Or I've eaten, 16 bits of okra, give me more. So I think it's remembering it doesn't have that emotional attachment as well. So that's really good in the brain. But what it's going to do to your body with the fiber content, with the protein content, is so much more than, say, thinned food would do. So that's why that is restricted. But yeah, the moment you start putting parameters into your free food is the moment you get into dangerous ground. It really, really is.
So speaking of danger, Tina has put in a little comment here, I need to wear mittens with my face mask, then I can't pick up the snacks or put them in my mouth. Help. Mm. Snacks are normally what everybody, it's like the question, the subject that everybody seems to talk about in group, trigger foods, danger areas, self-sabotage traps. It's like they're always there, aren't they? It's always this question around or worry about it.
So you know what you just said about that analogy of like walking around the hole and falling into it? I think this is where most people do that. We think we can have a packet of crisps, a bar of chocolate as a snack, and we're going to be somehow able to limit that to a packet of four Sin crisps and it's going to be okay. If you have a trigger food and you're trying to fit that into your snacks, into your food, it's like a big red siren going off, because unless you have got to that point with it where you're not triggered by it anymore, you are opening the floodgates for not being able to stop. So, like I gave up chocolate when I first had my weight loss because I knew I couldn't have a little bit. I knew it wasn't possible. So I had to swap my snacks to different things. So my best advice for snackers, and I'm a big one, is look at snacks that won't trigger you. Because actually, while you think it's lovely to have a bit of chocolate or a packet of crisps, you've been and you've ridden this bike many times. This story has been told. You're going to jump in the hole, aren't you?
Or fall into it, yeah.
Yeah, smack bang, break your nose. And you've got to remember you have that choice. You have that choice power to say, today, I'm not going down that. I'm going to snack on something totally different. Really, really is important. I was talking to a lady that says, I have to put my sins in my food because that way I'm not triggered by them. I'm not a person that food optimizes and has the bar of chocolate or the pudding, because that to me is a place where I know I'm not going to be successful. But actually adding some more cheese into my pasta or cooking with some olive oil or having some avocado is a much better place.
See, because October is also known as Stoptober, isn't it? And I wonder how many people are actually just saying, no, I'm not going to have that trigger food for the whole of this month.
What a great idea, Claire. I hadn't even thought of like that Stoptober as in like, let's stay away from it. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to know if you are following it, you're what, 12 days in, how are you getting on? Like, is it helpful to think of stop? Sometimes I don't like to use the word I'm quitting. I'm choosing not to is a bit more, powerful to me. So I'm always, I'm interested. Share us your stories if you have either stopped smoking, stopped drinking, stopped chocolate, whatever the heck it is, stopped biscuits, stopped crisps. Let us know, slimandworldpodcast@gmail.com. Let's have a look. So Charlotte also says she's great having a normal, in a routine. She's got a little plan to go and everything. But when she's out of that routine, all hell breaks loose. Again, this sounds a little bit like kind of just drifting willy-nilly and then suddenly find yourself back in that black hole again, doesn't it, really? Like, how can you stop that? I imagine, half term, for instance, people haven't had to cope with that for a while, have they? But how do you prepare for that?
Do you know what I always think? When you know that your lack of routine is going to pull you out of sync, think about that as the things you need to plan. Because if you're brilliant when you're in a routine, you're not a person that needs to sit down and meal plan and do all of that. But what you have got a plan is how you're going to handle this. What needs to be in place. So actually, I know when my routine breaks, that is, how for you, like a coffee shop is a place of trigger. Lack of routine is this person's trigger. So actually I've got a plan in for the fact that I know that 11 o'clock when I'm not in work, I'd normally have a cup of tea and that's a packet of biscuits on. Make a plan for that. So it's not out of control. Set yourself a new routine so that you have got some structure, because you've still got to eat. It'll be just at different times. And also acknowledging, actually, this is what I do. And saying that out loud is breaking part of that habit.
Mary sends a message about when making our own corn tortillas with maize flour, how do we find the sins?
So very simple. You just type the name of the flour into the app, the website, or check in the back of your book and see if it's listed. Then you'd work out the amount that you used per tortilla or per six tortillas, and then you'd have your sin value.
Now, I don't know if this is like a legitimate Slimming World thing or not, but you've talked before about like a snack calculator.
That is a legitimate Slimming World thing.
I don't know. Sometimes there are things that you're like, has someone else twisted the plan and invented that? Like there are quite a lot of vegan foods at the moment that I'm finding aren't on the app, you know, or they're just not there. So how can I protect myself?
Okay, so you'd put them through the SINS calculator. So all you'd need is the nutritional information. It's called the SINS estimator, I think, now on the app. It would ask you for the weight of how much you're having and then the ingredients. So if it's got free food, you select the first free food in it. If it hasn't got any free food, you just follow the instructions of what to do and it will work out the approximate SIN value for you.
It's SINS really brilliant. SINS estimator.
Yeah. It's really cracking for when you don't know kind of what's going on and it's not listed online. So, yeah, it's brilliant. Really helpful.
Brill. I will have a look at that. Thank you. That was my little question that I slipped in there.
Oh, but you've not experienced the SINS estimator, Claire Freeman.
No, I had not. Every day is a school day, Anna Mangan. okay, so Billy. This takes us back, this doesn't it? Billy, oh, by the way, congratulations, Billy. Over lockdown, got his 3.5 stone award, plus his bronze and his silver body magic. Congratulations.
And just had an amazing weight loss, didn't he, award.
Yeah. So he asks, any tips for a newbie trying yoga? First of my my question is, I hope it's clothed. Do you remember that? I did naked yoga over lockdown, because why not?
I think we all remember it, don't we, guys who are listening? We all remember.
Naked yoga.
So your tip would be some clothes.
Don't Google naked yoga. That is also what I'm going to suggest. If you're Googling naked yoga to see if it's a thing, just don't. Don't do it.
Have you just seen my face? I'm just like, feel a bit sick.
There'll be people like, oh, is that a new exercise? I might have a look into that. Is that a thing? I'll go and look for an exercise. Don't. Just don't. There's something rude's going to come out. So, Billy, I hope that it's clothed, first of all. And also, on clothing as a thing, make sure you don't have a hole in your crotch, like I have right now. I'm really selling it. No.
Do you know?
Oh, there's a serious point to this, right? Wear clothing that is comfortable. Don't go being the coolest person in there, but you need generally need like trousers that you can actually move in freely, because yeah, you don't want to kind of like, I don't know, get stuck in a position then you find that your ass seam has split or something. And don't eat cauliflower rice the night before. Anyway,
basically don't fart while naked doing yoga. Is what she's saying. Billy, should I tell you what I was gonna say?
Yes,
just start a little and often. Don't feel like you've got to be some yoga professional. Just start like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and build it into your routine.
Yeah,
and wear some clothes.
Yeah, you know what, even just the most common position in yoga is called downward dog. Google that. You're safe to Google downward dog. And it's actually initially when you start, particularly when I was doing it at first and I was overweight, it's quite difficult because your weight, your knees, your ankles carry quite a lot of the weight when you are heavier. You feel conscious because your belly is hanging down. You know, quite often we like to lie on our back and lie flat because then your belly kind of gets sucked in a little bit. Your arms aren't as strong as, the, you know, when you first get started. Your shoulders aren't very strong. So even just like holding the downward dog position, which is just basically on all fours with your bum up, is actually quite challenging initially when you're overweight. And I think people can underestimate that. Simple things like reaching for the ceiling and touching your toes. Again, when you first start, it's quite difficult because I was really conscious of my belly. I felt like I couldn't touch my toes. I could barely see them at some points. So the thought of trying to touch them was like another thing. But with time, and as you continue to lose weight, use those two positions, which are the common ones, as a great barometer to track your progress. Like what Linda Papadopoulos said about the report card, weight is one aspect, but perhaps how are you getting on in downward dog and touching your toes could be another part of the report.
Love that.
See, there was, I went serious in the end.
I know, and I'm just still here lying about cauliflower rice and nakedness and truck crotch splitting.
Well, there we go. That's how we roll. We are real here, people, and we talk about the things that you will not find if you Google how to start yoga as a beginner. Okay, a more serious subject, right? So Pam reached out to us and said thank you for our podcast. They've really helped just keep her mind feeling like someone was by her side. She has had an unbelievably tough time in lockdown, has lost her son in February. And if she's honest, she has struggled to keep to plan and also process grief at the same time. She asks for any kind of help with bereavement. How does this work? And it's sometimes quite difficult, I think, in group for people to talk about this. You know, the lady who I've been to in group mentioned about losing someone several years ago, and it's still having an impact, particularly in lockdown, actually. She missed that person more in lockdown than she'd ever missed them. This is something you know well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my absolute condolences to Pam, because it just is horrific losing people, isn't it? I think my advice personally would be you've got to cut yourself some slack. Because grief comes in such waves that some days you feel okay and your food can be fine. Other days you wake up and it's like a mountain on your chest and you just can't break through it. So being kind to yourself, cutting yourself some slack is key. But then also maybe looking and flipping it on its head and saying, I'm going to try and focus on something positive. So actually, I can't control this pain of grief, but what I can do is control what I'm going to eat. So today, my aim is to just try and get some speed-free food in. Or I'm just going to try and do this and actually start getting back to food optimizing. Rather than putting the pressure of 100% perfect 100% of the time, you're not going to be able to do that. So actually just having realistic aims and achievements with it. But knowing that there will be bad days, plan for those bad days. What's your contingency plan? Are you an emotional eater with the grief? Or have you gone the other way and you don't want to eat? Looking at what support you might need with your food. Is it having, you know, something that's ready made that you can just warm up? Is it having some jacket potatoes to throw in the oven? What's your thing that you need? But above all, kindness to yourself.
I also think ask for help. You know, the people who love you, tell them that you're struggling and tell them what it is that you need them to do for you. Don't be too proud in saying, I'm not okay. And it would really help me if you did this. If you went and got me some Iceland meals and came round and left them on my doorstep. If you're in, you know, if you're self-isolating, if you're in a bubble, you know, ask for help. Be specific about what can they do to help you.
Because people want to help, it's really, really important. And, you know, I remember when my dad died, some of the things that were most valuable were people dropping round a cottage pie on the doorstep, were people going and getting you some of your favourite, I don't know, bread or whatever it was, and you just not having to think about the food was really nice.
Yeah. Trish. Sorry, Tish, not Trish. Had to double check this. Tish. T-I-S-H. She's going on a honeymoon in 6 weeks. Oh, that's probably less now since we've got this message. Mm. Scared, though, as dinner and lunch dates are going to be out. And actually, she doesn't want to undo all of her hard work. How can she prepare? I mean, I guess whether we treat this as just an ordinary holiday,
yeah,
rather than put it on a pedestal for a honeymoon.
Do you remember, Claire, when we did an episode about birthdays? We did it in a park.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Right. We always, or have done, as human beings, associate going out and enjoying ourselves with certain foods and certain alcohols. And we talked about on that episode, actually, how can you have a birthday that doesn't have cake and booze, using it to celebrate other things? Now, having been on honeymoon and lost an incredible amount of weight for my wedding, I let loose and went mental. I don't even mean a little bit. I mean insane. It's like the gloves came off and I put 11 and a half pounds on. A lot of you will know I couldn't get in my jeans to fly home, so I had to use a hairband to keep them done up. It was a car crash. So what I did when we did the same holiday the following year was say, what would it look like today to have a brilliant day, but actually still feel good in my swimming costume? And what I realized is because I was on honeymoon, I was just doing it because we're on honeymoon and it's beautiful and it's romantic. Actually, it was really easy to have a lovely chicken salad for lunch and, you know, a diet drink. Actually, I really wanted a pudding that night, or I wanted a cocktail. So really trying to shape a picture of what enjoyment looked like, and realizing just because I was eating out all the time didn't mean I had to go and throw my weight loss away, because I didn't need to do that kind of, you know, just eating for the sake of it. Have you been in that position where you're going, well, I can, so I should? You know, I remember you talking about it when you used to work away and it was on expenses and you'd get a pudding just because you could, or, you know, it's a similar thing, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, for me, I've just celebrated another birthday, and another birthday sober as well. Another birthday doing Slimming World. And actually, I've just surpassed my 1,000 days of doing Slimming World on part of this journey, right? So that's 1,000 days of being on plan, off plan, whatever you want to call it. The thing that I realise is how I treat myself. I have to find different ways to treat myself. And you're right, not thinking about food. And what was more important to me about the event of my birthday was finding a way to spend time with my family. You know, whether it was connecting with them with a phone call, online, being with them in person. And it doesn't have to centre around food. So for me, I would look for like a big holiday. I know something that I really enjoy is a massage. Is there a way that I can plan in a massage? I love going for a lovely walk near the sea. Like, how could I maybe do that a little bit every morning, or maybe one big day? Would I want to hire a bike and, you know, we go for a bit of a cycle somewhere for a day to go and explore? So you look for the other events. Don't make food the event, but make the other things the event.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Also, another one, think about how you want to feel when you get back. Because for me, it was that realization at JFK Airport that I had a hairband keeping me in my jeans. And literally, my wedding dress didn't fit anymore. That was not a nice realisation. Mm. So actually, is that food? I always think about it. Is that 30 minutes of that food worth what you're going to feel like in a week's time? Not saying don't enjoy it, but it's that I'm eating just for the sake of it.
I hear the frustration, though, of Tish, though, because sometimes you just think, oh, I'm just tired of thinking about this all the time. Like, you just want it to be easy and just to enjoy it. And then you also kind of think, it is your honeymoon. Maybe you don't need to think about the plan. Maybe it is okay to go and put 11 and a half pounds on over your honeymoon. But you're going to have a great time.
And I think it's knowing whatever you choose to do, it's about choice. This isn't sat here saying, don't do this. This is saying, actually, if you want to go and eat everything you want to, go and do it, if you're cool with how that's going to make you feel. But actually, you wouldn't be sending us a message if you didn't want to take some sort of control, I don't think. So it's just about knowing you can have a brilliant time and enjoy those beautiful meals out without coming back with all your weight gained.
Let me just highlight here, we have an Instagram account which is at Slimming World Podcast. Quite simply, does what it says on the tin. And
we didn't overthink that.
No, we didn't. We share sometimes, you know, live, you know, when we're talking, we're just on a ramble, telling you what we're doing. We put posts, we pose questions to you, we share what episodes are coming out, coming up. And one of the little lives that I did the other week was talking about, I was revisiting, like, what are my reasons for losing weight right now? You know, I used a tool that is available from consultants in a group, which is the for and against list. Some people love it, some people hate it. There's quite a few different mixed things. But I basically said in that live that I was really struggling to, I came up with lots of reasons of why I didn't want to lose weight right now. But I was struggling in the why do I want to lose weight now? And so I did that live and picked out that you guys were sharing some of your reasons why. And I posted that and we've got a ton of comments on that post. If you are someone who is in that weird grey area where you're not really feeling it at the moment, just go read some of the comments on that post. Because it really does, when you are going like, I'm away this weekend, or, you know, if you've got a big event coming up or your holiday or honeymoon or something, you know, solid in your foundation, well, this is why I'm doing it. You know, like just flicking through some of the reasons here, people talking about the health reasons, staving off old age health problems, wanting to, you know, improve their fertility, reduce medication. You know, whilst I struggle to write down mine, I could kind of pull out two or three examples from some of these comments. Happiness and health would be my main reasons. Gaining confidence, becoming fitter. Short term, I want to lose weight because my feet ache all the time and it takes the shine off everything. You know, it was so amazing and so inspiring. So we want to thank you for the people who, it's not just the usual people that are engaging in these Instagram posts. And it's not that we do it for lots of likes and comments. Actually, we're using this almost as like a positive forum to engage discussion, to get you thinking. And maybe that is one for some of your journal ponderings over this month, because I eventually did write my for and against list, and it is in my diary, which I carry around with me every day.
You know, I gave all my members one. It was a really, really amazing discussion that we had. And it just, it opened the discussion up and made them really think. And I was saying to them, like, for and against list is a really great thing to have in your bank for when, like, you might be sailing and it's going well. But for if ever those kind of doors start to creak and that kind of little voice comes back, it's a really good thing to have in your armoury.
I agree. So go explore that and get curious, keep revisiting about your reasons why. I just want to finish on a really positive story, which is from Rosie. Okay, Rosie sent us a direct message on Instagram. And by the way, you can send us these messages privately and just tell us if you don't want your name read out.
Please make sure you do your
tell us. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Anna and Claire, for the podcast. She finds them motivating and informative. This is what made me laugh. I've been fannying around with half a pound off, half a pound on. So after listening to the podcast on Extra Easy SP, she did a week of it and 2.5 pounds off. Whoop, whoop. Loved it so much that she's continuing. She's got a pound to go to Target and really wants to do it. She had a crap year last year. She was treated for breast cancer and feels like her Slimming World journey, which she started in January, has given her a new lease of life. Four of them embarked on walking a million steps for a ton of different cancer and baby rescue centres. They started the challenge on the 1st of July and ended on the 30th of September. And they never dreamed that they could walk this amount of steps. But her weight loss has spurred her on. Her knees have less pressure on them. And the inches are shrinking. She thanks us for our continued inspiration and fun podcasts. Her favourite still is the ugly fruit. And she lols just thinking of this. Keep up the good work. I mean, keep up the good work, Rosie. What a way of like taking life, taking all the crap bits and taking it back in your control and doing something positive.
Amazing, lady. Congratulations.
And it just shows, doesn't it? Like I said at the top, that we're all going through our own little things. But I think what's always great about, well, particularly these episodes of Listeners Questions, is just hearing how are other people doing and having that compassion and that curiosity to get out of your own head sometimes and helping someone else or just hearing from someone else or listening, it really makes a big difference and helps motivate you too.
Totally. And just sometimes you feel like, you know how you said at the beginning, feel quite insular. Just hearing what people are saying and going through can sometimes just put it in enough perspective for you to make a few changes.
So that's This Is Questions October 2020. Like we say, send us emails, swimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Some of you are asking about how you can subscribe to us too. It is free to subscribe. There's no email or message you need to send us. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, there should be a little button at the top that you hit to hit subscribe. If you're on Spotify, at the very top, there should be something called a button that says follow. That's all it is. You don't need to send us an email or anything, just in case you're new to the podcast world. And obviously we're on the Tinstagram as well, at Slimming World Podcast. Next week, one for your mind, but also one that involves a little bit of eating. But it won't cost you any sins, as we get the candles, we get the incense, and we get romantic, Anna, in a way that we've never been romantic before.
You're going to keep your clothes
I will on. Keep my clothes on, I promise. Good. I was going to wear these trousers, actually. These are my light Thailand stretchy trousers, but I think that they...
Oh, no, and they're the one with the hole in.
They may have lost their sparkle, I think.
Can we sew a patch in, love? Crotch
patch. Wow. I'm not sure that would really work. I mean, I'm rubbish with a needle and thread, but...
Oh, I'm great at sewing. I can sew you a patch in your crotch any day of the week, Ralph.
Now that is an offer that we will leave this podcast thinking about. Have a great weekend. Have a great week, even. And we will speak to you next time.
Bye for now.